の彼方に光る星、青い地球は。
Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr. I'm broadcasting today from the San Francisco Bay Area. It's a beautiful day here, and actually,the signal is being transmitted from my station in Lafayette, California, but I'm actually at Mount Shasta today. And I last night I spent at the mountain, and I met with Commander Halosaurus of the Pleiadian ships here. And it was a wonderful meeting. He brought me aboard the ship, and I had a wonderful time. The Shasta itself is starting to go into the fifth dimension, and you can really feel it up on the mountain. The vibrations are very high, and I wish you could all be here. I had a bunch of notes written out for today's show with Simon, and then I realized that with my computer I can't access them while the show's going. So I'll be able to do it though, I think from memory, just fine. I wanted to welcome everyone to today's show. It's a donation based show, and if you'd like to donate, it's just $5 a month or $50 for the year, and your donations are really appreciated. Just a couple of quick announcements before we start. I'll be going, for those of you who would like to go to Mount Shasta, I'll be going back to Mount Shasta again, August 27th to September 3rd. We've already seen Sasquatch during this trip, lots of UFOs. We saw this huge Pleiadian ship overhead of us last night, and it was just amazing. The commander came down to visit with us all, and it gave us lots of wonderful messages, which I'll give on another show. Anyway, and then I'll be going, my tentative plans for the fall are to go back to Peru, October 10th through the 28th. And if you'd like to come, please come with me. Just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. The cost is just $4.97. It includes visits to Machu Picchu, Alatatambo, an amazing museum on the coast of Peru in Paracas that has extraterrestrial and human hybrid skulls. We also visit the southern end of Lake Titicaca to a place called Amaramuro, which is a stargate into Agartha and the Hollow Earth. I was there in January, and when I was there in January to this stargate, a group of children from Agartha sang these beautiful songs to us, and it was just an amazing, amazing experience. And with that, I'd like to welcome my good friend Simon to the show. Simon, how are you doing today?
Hello, Ted. Lovely to be with you. I'm doing very well, thank you. Ticking along here. July the 4th, of course, Independence Day, a very important day for perhaps not just the United States, but all the English-speaking world.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I have to tell you, Simon, you know, I've never been in a time before when there's been so much censorship everywhere. It's affected, of course, my broadcasting in Bellevue in Seattle, Washington, but I'm grateful for the producers of this show that they don't censor anything, and they're open, you know, to new ideas and the truth. You had a lot of posts on your website regarding censorship. Starbucks, Facebook has pulled out from supporting Starbucks in an attempt to censor President Trump's messages. Do you think this is going to get worse before it gets better, Simon?
I think it's probably reached the peak. See, Mark Zabrucker had a meeting with Trump, and they actually came to some sort of arrangement. This is a few weeks back. Uh-huh. And they reasonably got on okay. And places like Facebook wouldn't censor the president in the same way that Twitter was censoring the president. And a lot of these cabal-controlled organizations then decided that they would put pressure on Mark Zabrucker and just withdraw funding from anything that he would have responsibility for. The whole point being to get all of social media to stop carrying the president's message. In other words, just cut the president out of social media completely. That was the plan. And their object is, if they withdraw all the funding, they hope that all these big social media giants who thus far have given, you know, news to the president, will stop doing it. Will it get worse? Not on that side. That's got as far as it will go. What we will see is more violence on the streets and more action with the governors, lieutenant governors, the mayors. That's where I think the cabal will use its influence.
I've noticed in the Washington area where I'm from, Simon, that the influence of these orders for masks and social distancing, they have very little effect in the rural areas. Outside Seattle, you go out to the eastern Washington to rural areas, people don't pay attention to the orders and they think it's a joke. It's the same in California. I'm in Northern California now at Mount Shasta, and there are some masks around here, but most people think it's a big joke here and they don't really take it seriously. If you go to San Francisco, however, people do wear masks, a lot of masks, but out in the rural areas, people don't seem to pay attention too much.
In the midterm elections, the cities voted predominantly for the Democrats and the rural areas voted predominantly for the Republicans. Mm-hmm. You'll find, of course, Ted, that the people who are in the rural areas have a tradition of being more self-sufficient, don't have to rely so much on a superstore or this or that. They have the local store, but they have become much more self-sufficient. Those of us who've lived in the big cities, and I lived in London, a city of 8 million people, for 20 years, mm-hmm. You are totally dependent on the infrastructure, the public transport system, the metro, the bus service, great bus service in Britain in the big cities, sure. The healthcare system, everything is provided, which means that if it's mm-hmm. turned off, the effect on the citizens is immediate. And I often talked about my grandmother. My grandmother would know how to cook anything and preserve anything. Now, people go to a store and they want a meal they can cook in 3 minutes. And if you turned off their refrigerator, they wouldn't know how to preserve anything. So people right. in the cities have become disempowered for survival. Those in the rural areas are more empowered for survival. And I think the difference is that it's just a natural reaction for people who are more self-sufficient to be more suspicious. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. I've noticed that too. That's a very good comment, Simon. And it's the same thing in Oregon too. I mean, if you're in Portland, you see everybody wearing masks, but you get outside of Portland in Oregon, nobody cares. Nobody really cares. And I think all their efforts to do this will fail. If wearing masks truly helped stop the virus, if there was a threat from the virus, then I think most people would gladly go along with it. But they look at it as another political agenda to socially and political muzzle us. I mean, the whole thing, it connotates not being able to speak up. And I think that's why a lot of people don't take it too seriously.
I was always more concerned about picking up a virus from hands touching. I wear gloves if I go to the gas station to fill up. That's when I use gloves. Mm-hmm. Probably that's just a sensible thing to do anyway, isn't it?
Sure,
but generally speaking, I think it's the hand protection. And I have said this on your show before, Ted. You remember when this all first kicked off in March, the world leaders were told, don't shake hands. They were told to stand next to each other, but don't shake hands. And that was the reason that the Chinese had some of the true evidence that had come out was that this virus was by touch. And I saw a very interesting documentary done by genuine people in China showing an apartment block. There was an elevator and to press the buttons on the elevator to go to the different floors, there was a little cup, and in it were those little cocktail sticks, those little wooden spikes, and people would take a spike, press the button, and then put this into another. So they knew that it was really touch that was spreading this. Mm-hmm. And I think that there should be just as much power given to wearing gloves when you're out, sure. let's say on the subway, the metro, sure. that's when you should be wearing gloves, just as much as a mask. Gloves and a mask if you're going to go into a virus area. But right. mask on its own, I don't understand the logic either.
It's a lot of people, they've got this fight or flight response, and there's so much fear in the mainstream media that people are so full of fear that they do anything they're told to do, including wear masks or not. So I it's unfortunate, and people don't seem to think logically either, Simon.
I think that for thousands of years the elite have told the ordinary people like us what to do and what not to do, and it's ingrained in us. Why do you go to school? You go to school to be given orders, to be given instructions. You know, why do police officers wear uniform? Because it's to say this is the badge of rank or office that you have to respect. Why does a judge wear a certain type of gown? Right. You know, why do doctors wear white coats? Right. Everything is about a structure to give control. Some of it's good, some of it's not good. And so I'm not at all surprised that people do exactly what they're told.
Well, you can see the structures we're wearing today, Simon. I've got a regular shirt on and you do too, so.
Well, if I was to go to a meeting to talk about certain things, I would put a shirt and a tie on, because in certain circumstances, certain fields, you cannot be taken seriously. It's less so in America, but it's still prevalent in the US. Mm-hmm. If I was to turn up to a meeting and say to people, I want you to judge me for what I am, don't judge me by the car I drive or the watch I wear or the clothes I wear, three quarters of those people would just automatically switch off, because they themselves are so programmed that even if they're good people, that's not my point. The point is, even if they're good, they are so programmed by the way it should be that unless you conform to the pattern that they're used to, they won't actually listen or believe what you're telling them.
So, you know, I brought two ties down with me for this interview today, and I forgot both in my car. They're out in my car. So,
all right, Ted. So I'm not going to take anything you say seriously then. You're not wearing your tie.
All right. Well, just cut me some slack this time. You know, I did some research last night on the U.S. Constitution, and there's actually an article in the Bill of Rights that says that Hugh's voice cannot be played on the media in the United States on Facebook. Did you read that too, by the way?
No, I haven't seen that.
Just kidding. But your post was banned because you couldn't play the voice of Q.
What tends to happen is that the FBI have investigated a number of people claiming to be Q. Mm-hmm. Not that they're claiming to be Q, but because they had documents on their website, and there was recently with one young man, there was a lot of hoo-ha about whether he had the right to have these documents, etc., etc. And I think that the problem is that the US military supporting Trump ran the Q program, and then they handed it across to trusted civilian people. But unfortunately, on the bandwagon of that, there are a number of wannabes who have jumped up alongside it. And so it now means that there's a lot of interest from the cabal or the elite as to anybody claiming to be Q. And they'll look for any excuse to take these videos down.
Fascinating. Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. It looks like things are catching up with Jeffrey S. Epstein and his associates. Tell us a little bit more about what happened to this Elaine. I heard several stories. One, that she'd gotten the virus and was hospitalized, and they didn't know whether she was going to make it or not. And then another post saying that she'd been arrested. I mean, you've got lots of stories going out there. And what do you think the truth is, Simon?
The truth is that the good guys have known where she's been for weeks. Mm-hmm. But while the district judge for the southern part of New York refused to action it, they couldn't do anything. So William Barr wrote to him and said that you are sacked. And as a sign of the arrogance of the deep state, the district judge for the southern part of New York said to Bill Barr, you can't sack me. The arrogance of it. And Bill Barr wrote back and said, actually, I will just remind you that you serve at the pleasure of the United States president, which is actually true, in which case he had to go because he suddenly realized when he checked the rules oh yes, it is at the pleasure of the president. But he was so arrogant and didn't even know the law. And as I said on my own podcast, why should he bother with the law? The cabal don't follow the law themselves. The law is there to inconvenience everyone else. It's not there to inconvenience them. And so it must have been quite nasty for him to suddenly have the law read to him. Anyway, so when he was removed, and the woman, she's acting at the moment, she's not been officially put in place, but she's in post. She was only in a few days, and she signed the right document. And then Maxwell was arrested, because they'd known where she was all the time. I can absolutely confirm that she is arrested. She's already appeared in court to give her name and address and details. And I do not know whether she's been granted bail or not.
Right.
But I understand that she's in a safe location. They do not want another suicide taking place. That's not really wanted, simply because this woman isn't as high up as Epstein, but this woman can give some very interesting talk about the British royal family and certain other people who are not in the frame at the moment. So whether a deal can be done with her, a public deal, so that she just gets a 1 or 2 year sentence, I don't know. But she's been arrested. That's absolutely a fact. She doesn't have the virus. She's arrested. She's already appeared in court, but I understand she's in a safe location.
Sure. A lot of the shutdown orders across the states, especially on the west coast of the U.S. in Washington, Oregon, and California, are perceived by the people here, Simon, as being invalid simply because there's no legal basis for many of the orders, and there's no threat from the virus, very few threat. California Governor Newsom came out with a press release last week saying that there were thousands of new cases, but many people here are questioning whether whether he's telling the truth and whether even the figures he's using are accurate.
Right. Ted, we honestly don't know that. But what we do know is that it's not illegal, because if the governor deems there to be a threat, whether there's a threat or not, the governor has the right to do that. Mm-hmm. Now, what happens is that if the president of the United States believes the governor's acting wrong, well, then under normal circumstances, and we're nowhere near normal, but under normal circumstances, there would be a standoff between the president and the governor. Because the jurisdiction, the governor is the governor of his or her area. The president is the president. The president is not the governor. And so in law, it's enshrined. The governor has some very standalone powers. But the president can order the military into any part of America. That is his right. He can order the regular military into any location in the United States, including Hawaii. And the governor cannot prevent that. So that is the ace card that Trump has up his sleeve. The fact that he could put 5,000, 6,000 troops into a location. That is the point that no other president would ever have dreamed of doing. But this president can and will do it if a governor operates in a way that begins to destroy that state.
Actually, he already has, Simon.
Well, yes, but they are what I would call nominal numbers. They're not
right.
If I'm playing a game of cards with you, and I've got four cards that I'm hiding, I might show you one of them. Mm-hmm. And what he's doing is he's showing the governor's one card and saying, look, it's a picture card. So if I'm showing you this picture card, somebody's other's a picture card. So he's playing a bit of roulette with these guys. So he has, you're right, Ted, but I'm talking about thousands of troops. He could move.
Right.
I've seen information that shows me that there are four key cities in the US that the military is very happy to move in, and they have got about 200 to 250,000 troops ready to go for four cities in the US. That's why these governors have backed down and didn't push it, because they don't want 50,000 American troops who are loyal to the Constitution and not to some corrupt governor.
I was told recently by a trusted source, Simon, that that's the reason why Seattle now is disbanding the letting the police in to clean up the Chaz area.
Yes. What happened was that, you know, that the 14-year-old was shot and the 16-year-old was shot.
Right.
And what they realized was they were losing the publicity battle amongst the white middle classes, the white Americans who felt terribly guilty about slavery, the white Americans who felt really bad about all of the issues that have happened to black people. And so, well, we're reasonably happy to let this situation roll along because nobody wanted to be accused of being racist. And then when these kids are being murdered, the argument was lost. And you've got running alongside that. It's very interesting because the police chief there is a black woman. And I think that's really interesting. And this black woman police officer, senior chief, was saying, it's lawless. And she even said, don't go there. So you've got the head of the police force saying, don't go there. And you've got President Trump saying, I will move regular troops actually physically in there. And so the governor fall back. Now, what happened is that's not won the governor votes. That's not done the governor any good because it didn't follow through to show that his policy was working. He started the policy. Young kids got killed. It got cancelled. So it makes the governor look weak.
Right. There were a total of 8,000 people within that area of Seattle. And the mayor herself said that there were 4,000 police reports of serious crimes committed in that area. So one out of every two people experienced a crime, whether that be assault, rape, theft, burglary, whatever. And it was getting quite high. So I'm glad that it's finally getting cleaned up, though, now.
Well, I think you know, come November the 3rd, I think that the Democrats, Joe Biden, should produce a poster saying, vote for me and I'll defund the police force. And, you know, we won't have any police officers. So why don't the Democrats follow through with this policy that they've trialed in a number of places and actually go to the American electorate and be honest with them and say, you know, we don't believe in the police force. We don't believe in it. We think that it should be free and easy. And why don't the Democrats produce that? Why are they leaving it to the media to do all the dirty work for them? And that's what we're seeing. The Democrats come up with a plan. The media go with it. And when it doesn't work, it's the media that quickly shuffles around. So I've never thought that we would see the situation in the United States. The United States, the country that we all look up to, is being made to look a laughingstock.
Didn't Lord Acton say something in the 19th century that those who ignore the lessons of history are doomed to repeat its mistakes?
Yes.
And if you look at, I'm not comparing the United States in any way to Nazi Germany, but if you look at what Hitler did in 1933, he disbanded the police and that turned over to the SS. And so they had a new dictatorial regime come in. The thing that troubles me, sure, the police have problems, but I think they are needed. And if you get rid of them, what do you replace them with?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, this is the point that under President Trump, more black men and women had jobs than in any part of America's history. So how do we square that with this argument that America government is racist? So it doesn't make sense.
No, I think
the answer is a proper mass education of the police force. That's the first thing. Secondly, it's not about taking money away. It's about changing the way they restrain people. It's about changing the way they operate. It's not about saying to police, you can't do your job. It's saying there are different ways. Now, in Britain, we went through this actually in the 1980s, and the laws and the way the police act with people in Britain was fundamentally changed. And the number of black people dying in British prisons is substantially reduced because of the ways. For instance, there are no neck choke holes of any sort allowed. British police are not allowed to put their arms round someone's neck. because more people were dying from strangulation than anything else. So that's what needs to happen in America, not about reducing the equipment or the money or the prestige or the morale, but saying that you are going to be retrained in how to restrain a violent criminal. I'm talking about a man without a gun and without a knife.
Right.
Okay. So a man that doesn't have a gun, that doesn't have a knife, who's violent. Okay. So how do we restrain him? Well, seriously, if I was in any position of responsibility, I would do an exchange visit between Britain and America and say, you know, this is how we do it. I'm not talking about gun crime. That's completely different because Britain doesn't have that sort of issue that you guys have. But sure. In terms of unarmed people, there are certain ways that you can restrain them that would reduce this tension. And that's the point. So what I'm saying is that if you don't have police, you have a lawless society. And,
right.
And if you have a lawless society and you have shops that sell products, you will expect those businesses to be robbed and burnt to the ground.
Sure.
So you either have the police force or you don't. And I think the vast majority of people will say we'd rather have a police force.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you, Simon. Absolutely. I've have some friends here in California who've had to quit their jobs because of Governor Newsom's order regarding masks. And what advice might you give to people like that, Simon? Because they
what to the governor?
Yeah, the governor. Yeah.
You want me to give advice to the governor?
No. Regarding his order for wearing masks, they refuse to wear masks. There's a friend of mine, a librarian, for example.
Right.
And she said that under Governor Newsom's order, she has to maintain 6 feet distance between her and little children she does for story time readings every day after school, and which is ridiculous. And then she said that when these kids wear the mask, they can get brain damage long term because it cuts off oxygen.
They can't. They're getting too much carbon
so
dioxide. Yeah.
If you've got an order from somebody like Newsom that actually harms people's health,
my advice is to those members of staff is go sick.
Go what?
Go sick. Go ill.
Go sick. Okay. Call in go sick.
Ill.
Yeah.
Phone in. I'm ill.
Yeah.
Because you could say that I wore the mask and it's made me ill. So I've got an injury from work. It's
okay.
A work injury. You require me to wear a mask. I've worn the mask and it's made me ill. So I'm taking time off from work.
Okay.
Not because I fell over on the sidewalk, not because I banged my head on the door of the car, but I wore a mask, which I have to wear. It's made me ill. I'm now going ill. Then they go to the doctor and they say, listen, I've had this mask on and I can't breathe. And I have it on 5-6 hours of a day and I'm getting dizzy and I can't stand up properly.
Right.
That's what you got to do.
Okay. Thank you. Good advice.
What can they do? The governor told you to wear a mask. Yes, sir. I wore a mask and it made me ill. So now I need 2 weeks off on holiday, please, to get better.
Or six
and
months
don't forget,
off.
Please, you have to pay me as well because
that's right.
I'm ill because of the mask.
That's right.
Don't refuse to wear the mask because you just play into their hands. Don't say,
I see.
Listen, I'm not wearing that mask. It's my right under the amendment constitution because the governor has the right to ask that of you. That's the point.
I see. Okay.
Okay, so that's just as helpful, I hope.
Okay, yeah, that's very helpful. Thank you. I'll tell my friend about that.
Yeah, fine.
There's been a recurring story here in the States that the COVID-19 tests themselves carry the virus and can infect people. In addition, many of the test itself is only 20% accurate with 80% false positives. In other words, the test itself is inaccurate. But I'd love your comments on that as well.
I think that the testing is improved dramatically now. The quality of the testing recently is much better, but I can confirm that a lot of the tests units that came from China originally, why would you buy things from China for heaven's sake? But anyway, they all had to be trashed because they were just ineffective. So there's been a real problem around these tests. Some of the tests are contaminated and some of them just don't work. I think that what America is doing now is making its in-house tests. You know, get the military involved, get the military engineers involved. That's what they need to do. Get them making it. Look how quickly those emergency hospitals were put up in my country.
Oh, yeah.
and right, yours, right. And it was the military that did it. So I would be going straight to the military and saying, can you make me an electronic gadget like this, please? And that's what I do.
That makes for a lot of sense. Absolutely. I've got a couple of questions in, Simon. I'm sorry, I don't have my X to my notes, but I remember them now.
Okay.
And people are often facing difficult times right now, you know, with a lot of things going on the planet. Is it, what would you advise them? Hang in there, remain strong, know that good times are coming to the planet, that this will be over soon?
Well, it's not particularly helpful, but what I'm going to say to you is the absolute truth. And that is, this was always going to happen. It was always going to happen now. And oddly enough, it needs to happen. Because if I take, let's take a little mouse. I'm not saying humanity is a mouse, although some people would agree with that. But let's take a little mouse. And I build the mouse a lovely home. But the mouse refuses to go into the kitchen. Okay, so if I prod the mouse, I push it with a stick and I make it do things, or if I stop the mouse from doing something, I am giving the mouse the chance not to learn. That's a mistake in the new age. I'm giving the mouse the chance to make a decision. What is the mouse going to decide? And what's going to learn? What is it going to do? And all these things that are happening on the earth today are giving people the really hard in their face, you have to make a choice. How are you going to interpret what's happening, and what are you going to do? You might make learning lessons later, but at the moment it's looking at everything that's happening and saying, do I go along with it? I think it's right to kneel when the stars and stripes strike up. Is it right to do that, or is it wrong to do that? And so people will make a choice, and maybe when this is all played out, they'll learn from it. So no, people, I'm saying hang in there, because this is meant to happen. And actually, yes, you're very privileged, all of us, including myself, to be here to give our weight to, which hopefully the good, but whichever way we think we need to be, we're here to register our voice. I mean, you Americans are all going to have a vote on November the 3rd. How lucky are you?
Yeah.
How lucky are you to have that opportunity to actually respond to the stick that's been prodding you? The little mouse that's been stuck with the stick. Well, here's a real chance to show, have you learned anything from that? So, no, this is a great time for everybody. Be strong, see it through, stick to what you know is right. The values of the United States. It's July the 4th.
That's right.
You know, we had a wonderful speech from, I think, a wonderful speech from the president at Mount Rushmore, saying why America was the way it was and why people should be proud of it. I can't believe I'm 60 years old, Ted, and I look back. I've always been keen on America, and how proud everybody was. And now all of a sudden there's this push to make you guilty for being American, to feel bad about what America is. And yet there are people, I know historically, who've come from many countries who turned up with nothing in their pockets, nothing, ended up having a house, a family, a car, and making it come good. They couldn't have done it in any other country. Couldn't do it in Britain. They did it in America. Now, that's something to be proud of, not to be ashamed of. So I hope that the vast majority of American people just push all this into the gutter where it belongs, frankly.
I was talking to my friends Ben Franklin and Albert Einstein here a few weeks ago.
Okay.
And they all said they would love to trade places with us. And I said, really? And they said, yeah, we would. Because this is an exciting time in history.
It is.
And it's very rare for a planet to shift from third density to fifth density in a relatively short time.
Yes.
Originally, Nostradamus back several decades ago said that we wouldn't reach this point in our spiritual evolution until the year 2038. Well, now it's 2020. We're 18 years ahead of a schedule. And it's because of that mouse going into the kitchen and making the right decision after being prodded so much. So we're all making the right decisions. And we should all pat ourselves on the back because of that. And I think it's good for people to look through it when they see things on the mass media. I'm not saying it's all lies, no, but a lot of it's falsehoods and they omit a lot of things. George Floyd, for example, those two officers had fake badges on. They weren't members of the Minneapolis Police Department. George Floyd himself, I spoke with his attorney 3 weeks ago. George Floyd died 3 years ago in Corpus Christi, Texas. He's buried in Houston, Texas. The whole thing appears to be fake, completely fake. Many of the demonstrators in many of the cities for Black Lives Matter were bussed in, paid for by George Soros. The bricks that were thrown the windows of many businesses were conveniently provided through Mr. Soros and Bill Gates. So it's you've got to look beyond what you see. The assassination of John F. Kennedy. It was more than just one person. It wasn't a lone gunman. But we could go on. But there's a lot more going on that meets the surface of what you said earlier.
I think what's sad is that what we are witnessing now has been going on in many countries for years and years, and it's an indication of how low the elite hold the value of the ordinary people. To them, the ordinary people are there to be manipulated, to be told what to do, to be pushed around. And I think that the humanity to these people is just a necessary evil. They look on the public as a necessary evil. Why are the public necessary? Because they get paid wages, and their elite friends have some very big businesses, and their job is to take your money off you, and that's the whole plan. So if you depopulated the planet, these big businesses would collapse. Here's the problem for them, because these big businesses have grown relying on the income from the population. And so while one group of people wants to reduce humanity, another wants to just keep it but control it. And that's the group that's in charge at the moment, which is keep the people but control them. And when President Trump was elected in 2016, all of their calculations went out the window. Wow. And what we are seeing now, yeah, is an absolute vicious anger by the elite, the real elite. Remember, not all elite are bad. There are some very good elite. But from this rather rarefied evil elite, who don't like anybody reducing their control. And so this is how they're hitting out. It's got to be more favorable than a nuclear bomb. It's got to be more favorable than many other things.
Sure.
But listen, this is happening to us for a reason. Mm-hmm. And if people want what they're offering, then they will decide that on November the 3rd. If they don't want they will vote opposite. So people will choose. And when we evolve from the 3rd to the 5th. And why your friends are telling you in your special sessions why this is important is that most planets go from the 3rd to the 4th. That's the normal route, 3rd, 4th. But we're missing out the 4th because all of the evil that we are fighting is coming from the 4th. And if we overcome it, why would we need to go to the 4th? So it's going to be a very sharp transition from the 3rd to the 5th. And if you think that many of these evil people themselves part, live, or reside in the 4th dimension, when this earth and its people move to the 5th, they're out of a job. They're out of a job because they're not coming with us. So of course they're fighting with every tooth and nail they can, because they are staring at the end of their days. The shutters are going to come down on their shop. And of course, they've got nothing to lose. So that's why this is such an interesting time.
You've just filled in a piece of the puzzle that I've wondered about for many years. Thank you, Simon. Okay. What you just said just explained a lot of things in my own mind. Between the third,
third, fourth, and fifth. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's important for people, it's just like a chess game right now, to anticipate the other side's moves.
Yes.
We talked about this last time, but what do you think that if people are aware of what they might try next, they can anticipate it and hopefully deflect it. And what do you think they may try, and how could people deflect it? And just be aware of it, perhaps.
I think that they've run out of options now. I think that, excuse me, I think the United States is a hair's breadth away from military intervention. I think that the argument that the army can't come out because it would be against the Constitution, that argument isn't holding anymore, because people will say, well, if we don't do it, there won't be a constitution. So if the military believe they are upholding the constitution, they'll come out. If this crazy mob, who are totally determined to overturn the values of the United States, if they push any further, they will bring a very strong response. So I don't know whether they're prepared to do that. Maybe they're crazy enough to do it, I don't know. But honestly, you guys are not far from regular soldiers on the streets semi-permanently for a number of weeks.
I haven't been to Sacramento, California recently. It's only about 2.5 hours from where I am now at Mount Shasta. But I've been told that the mayor of Sacramento simply let the rioters, Antifa and Black Lives Matter, destroy much of the downtown. And I guess it comes to the point, which at what point will people stand up and say, we need help? If this has happened in other cities too, Minneapolis, the same thing. Well, they simply came in and let the rioters destroy a whole business area. And now businesses are moving out of Minneapolis. And I was wondering the same thing with Seattle too, with the Capitol Hill area, destroying buildings.
The answer, of course, is that those people need to show the way they think when they vote, because they don't have to be violent, Len. They have to vote. So that's how they'll do it. Don't worry. Rely on others who have a responsibility to protect you. They will make the decision when they need to go in and, you know, do what they need to do. But those people who have witnessed this, tell others what you saw, not what television showed, what you saw. And then when you come to cast your vote, you can then express yourself. And I'll be very interesting to see what happens to these governors and these mayors when they are up for re-election. Let's see if the policies they followed are popular with the majority. That's what we'll see.
Okay, interesting. Real quick question I had from a listener regarding Project Looking Glass. It was alien technology that the cabal or the negatives used some time ago, maybe 15, 20 years ago, to look into the future. And they said at this point in history, maybe 2012, a little bit earlier, there would be a choice for humanity either to go on a spiritual path and create a much better and happier planet, or go off to nuclear war and conflict and destroy much of the planet. Hmm. Clearly, I think we've chosen the first path of spiritual evolution. And I think and Nostradamus, I've talked to him. He's quite proud of humanity for making the right choices to do this, because he's still very optimistic about the future. And you have to look at the broader picture in spite of everything that's going on now, I think.
If we'd chosen the other timeline,
right,
America would not be seeing all of this difficulty. It's because humanity has decided it wants to go to source eventually. It wants to go back on the path of righteousness, that the evil ones who will be left behind are fighting to try to drag everyone down with them. So the humanity made the choice, and this other group, instead of trying to change and also come along, they are deciding that they're going to be like that cartoon character that holds the end of the fender at the back of the car and tries to stop it as it's pulling away. That's what we've got.
Right,
and we know what will happen. Either the car will go and the fender will be left behind. Something will happen, but that character will be left behind. That's what's going to happen.
Right. I was woken up about a week or two ago at 3 o'clock in the morning, and from 3 o'clock by six U.S. presidents and also Ben Franklin. And they wanted me to have several shows on what they call saving the Republic.
Right.
So my next hour will be on there. I've got about 20, 25 pages of messages from them, along with another psychic who's also in touch with the president. So we're going to be going over there next next hour, but they're very proud of your work too, Simon, for
for
helping humanity and bringing out the truth. And there's something very important during our last interview. You said, when we were talking about the censorship on my own program in Seattle, is that what's wrong with telling the truth? And you're right. There's nothing wrong with telling the truth. But people at home in my area, they many of them unfortunately try to be what's called politically correct. And it's silly, really, because if you know something is true, why not let the truth stand on its own? It's silly. You know, this is
because
this
it's a convention, Ted. The problem is that if you control the universities, you control the education, that's the key fundamental point, and you control the media, then you can run an agenda through 20 odd years that, of course, it follows federal wishes, but teaches that you're guilty of this or you're guilty of that. I mean, look, in 1776 and thereafter, you guys threw the British out. Okay, that's a fact. But the Brits don't go around saying, we're terribly guilty, we're terribly sorry that we oppressed you, you know, because you are predominantly white and we're predominantly white. But when you look at the British and the history with slavery, in many countries, but let's just talk about the British, then it's a point that when do you say, I, in 2020, am guilty for what happened in, say, 1750 or 1780? What point do you say, I need to go round and be very guilty of this? Surely what you do is you build in rules and laws that make sure that can never happen again. But you don't go around with a great weight on your head saying, I'm guilty. Surely what you do is you say, we were like Adolf Hitler, we'll never let that happen again. We need to ensure of that. But if you always go around saying, you know, oh, I'm guilty of this, I'm guilty of that, when you haven't been guilty of it, that is not to express the human condition. That's not, how will you be happy? How will you be joyous? Do you always have to go around being guilty? So that's what's being taught. What's being taught is that the flag of the United States is somehow some imperialistic, and it was always the British that were colonialist and British and imperialist, you know, but looking at those things like certain bars of music, certain statues, saying that that somehow represents an America which is evil. Now, does that mean that everybody who has served their country, who's lived in America, are they all part of that? Should they all be guilty? Should they think the whole American dream is a lie?
Right.
This is fundamental nonsense.
Right.
And so what I'm saying to your audience is that you are being manipulated by a very clever, small elite group who don't eat in the same restaurants as you do. They don't drink the same drink that you do. They certainly don't drive the same car that you drive. They are completely disassociated from you, yet they pretend to speak for the ordinary man and woman in the street. And it is a con. It is the Wizard of Oz hiding behind the curtain, projecting a voice. That's what this is all about. It's a game.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more.
Well, that's the truth. That's it. I'm speaking the truth. And we can do it on your radio show because, you know, and you've never said anything that was illegal. I've never said anything that was illegal.
No.
And to shut down the radio station because, hey, listen, you're saying things I don't like because they don't match my political opinion. Well, where's free speech? What was America all about?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's not the country I grew up in.
No. Nor the country I read about in my school books in this country.
Right.
I read about America, you know, in the 1960s and 70s, the school books paint a picture of America. I'd like to take one of those books in a time machine, go back and get one and come back now and look at it and say, well, this can't be America. This isn't the country in my book.
Right.
Something's very wrong, Ted. Very wrong indeed.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I see that actually. Yeah, I see that. But I thank you so much for helping people, you know, become awake. If you look at the finances of Black Lives Matter, for example, and Antifa is funded by George Soros.
Yes.
But Antifa or Black Lives Matter, actually, all of the monies they get in goes directly to the Democratic Party, goes directly to Joe Biden's campaign. It did go to Hillary's campaign, but she's kind of out of it now. But it did. It does go to Biden's campaign. So you have to see. You got to follow the money to see what is this really about, and who's benefiting from that. Mm. You know, I mean, all lives matter for that matter. Black yes. lives matter. Asian lives matter. Native American lives matter. All of our lives matter. Nobody's going to disagree with that. But are we being manipulated to, instead of creating a harmonious society based upon love and respect, are we instead being created to create a violent society where people are killed and buildings and things are destroyed over a bunch of nonsense, over a fake event? It doesn't make sense, personally.
Well, there's a very famous saying, isn't there, that we're all equal, but some of us are more equal than others. Mm-hmm. And the message that the American people are being given is that because of traditional racism, which of course has been there in America, the, sure. the argument is that what they need to do now is positively discriminate for these groups, but not just in terms of making sure that there's enough going into university or hospital admissions, but actually to start changing the way we value. So the very interesting case of the couple who came out on their doorstep and he had a gun because he was concerned about these mobs, and now the governor wants to take him to court. That'll be a very interesting battle.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it's political manipulation, and some small number, are so small-minded that they don't realize they're being politically manipulated, and they're the little mouse that quite happily goes along when you prod it with a stick. It'll do what its masters want. Fortunately, the human condition, the consciousness of humanity, is special and will see through lies. And I think that in the weeks ahead to come, this whole campaign to disempower the American people will fall apart. That's what I think.
You know, often people will tell you one or two sentences, Simon, you'll remember it for a long time. And in 2014, I had a lady named Susan Miller, a famous astrologist from New York City, on my show. Okay. And she said, I asked her about the future, and she said, Ted, this is a time of truth, that things that are true will become self-evident as being true. And those that are false, even though they're paraded as true initially, will be shown to be false. And I think this will happen too. But, you know, all this stuff will be, people will realize that we're being manipulated. We're not being told the truth.
But I absolutely agree. I remember seeing a documentary at the end of the Second World War, mm-hmm. when the Americans, predominantly the Americans, had liberated a number of the concentration camps where Jewish people were being killed, and right. Romanies or gypsies were being killed, and just about everyone who wasn't a member of the Nazi party was being killed. Sure. And they forced people from the town, they forced them, which isn't democratic, but that's what they did, right. to walk through this camp. Because right. what the commanding officer said, and I can't remember which camp it was, all I know is he said, if we don't do this, if we just pour concrete in here, in 50 years' time, they'll all deny it. So what we're going to do, he said, we're going to march. I don't think he got permission from anyone else. We march yeah. the people from the town through it. And he said, you tell your children and their grandchildren that this is what happened. And for many of them, they'd had 10 years or plus of this Nazi government, and they'd not aware of it. Mm-hmm. I think some were aware of it, but the ones that on this video, it's an old 8mm film, showed they weren't. They lived blissfully within a stone's throw of this camp, right. never asked the right questions, never bothered to look. Right. And when they were shown it, the truth hit them. And it wasn't so much the shock of what they'd seen. It was the shock that they'd been lied to for so sure. long. And they must have asked themselves, why did I never see the truth? And I think that's what this will do. It will make people say, will I see the truth? When will I see the truth? And why did these clever people manage to hoodwink me for so long? That's what will come of it.
That was in Dachau outside Munich.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I've been there. Yeah. And right. People remembered it. Yeah. Yeah. Right. I'll never forget the time I was in Kiev in the Ukraine, in the old Soviet Union, in 1983. And I met some students from a local high school, and they were very interested in about America. And I said, had you'd heard about the Korean airline being shot down and all this other stuff. And they said, oh no, our government would never do anything like that. And it was interesting because they were also asleep, many during the Soviet times, about what was happening, really happening in their own country. And I think it's the same true for today too. But people are waking up, and that's the good news, Simon. And we really do have a beautiful, bright future ahead of us. But the caveat is that we have to make the right choices. You know.
Yes, we have to make the right choices. Put a bit of effort in. We have to realize that we can't just expect it all to happen. We have to put some intention into it and to make our voice heard. And as long as enough people do that, there'll be no question. We will get there in the end. And I've always said that, Ted, as have you, that yes, but it's a bumpy road.
Right. Absolutely. Well, I hope sometime, Simon, you can come to Mount Shasta and I'll show you around and introduce you to the Pleiadian commander here and take a ride in the spaceship and meet the Sasquatch. And...
Ted, thank you. But my first call when we relocate to the US is going to be the Grand Canyon. I have always wanted to ride on a donkey down to the Grand Canyon. That's I've made it then. When I've done that, I've made it.
Right. All right. Well, the Grand Canyon is just, it's like an hour away or half hour away from the Hopi Reservation. So you must meet my friends there.
I would do. Yes,
and on the road up to the Grand Canyon, there's a whole bunch of Native Americans. They sell all kinds of beautiful arts and crafts. You must stop.
I mean, I'm a rock hound, but Becky would love any of the wonderful clothes or items that the Native people have made. She would love that. I certainly would want to take lots of photographs of the Grand Canyon.
I have a friend in Eastern Washington who has access to 50 acres worth of fossils and crystals. So if you're interested, that's where I've been spending my time recently, is going over to see
him.
Yes,
I mean, I've already signed up for it. Where do I write, Ted?
I'll just take you over. I mean, I stood on this one bluff, and there was nothing but crystals and fossils all over, petrified wood everywhere. And he said, Ted, you've helped me out a lot. Just take it whatever you want. I looked at him. I said, really?
How very kind. Well, I would settle for just one fossil. One fossil would do me.
Yeah. Well, I can send you one if you like, a nice one if you wish. So
I'd love it. Yes, please. I mean, or you hang on to it. And when we get to the US, you can give it to me. So
All right. Sending a big chunk of petrified wood can be expensive, but anyway.
Yeah, don't do it, Ted. The tax would be horrendous.
I can just see customs at London Heathrow scratching their heads, say, "What do we do with this anyway?"
Oh, they'll know me. They're opening my stuff all the time, Ted. It arrives with the tape around it. You know, we have when they open it, It's called Border Force, and they tape it. They always open all of my stuff. They have done for years. I'm quite used to it. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I remember once something, and in the early days they used to do it so that you couldn't tell they'd opened it. Now they don't care. That's interesting. So there was a time when they go carefully and reseal it. And now they don't. They don't even bother. They just put it into a plastic slip envelope. You know, we opened it with a sticker on it.
I see. Yeah. Well, it's nice to know that people care enough about you to do that. So.
I don't know they care. I think they just want to know and watch me and know what I'm doing. Some people care, and I'm very grateful for that care. It's very important to me.
Right.
It's nice to know that there are good people out there, Ted.
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of good people, and there's more good people than bad, certainly.
That's true.
And if anybody wants to know what I'm doing now, I'm talking to you and having a cup of coffee. So.
Well, that's fine. You can make coffee. If you'd said you were having a cup of tea, I'd be very worried for you, Ted. Because Americans are not very good at making tea. When I get out there, I'm going to run tea making courses. I'm going to show you guys how to make proper tea. And you can teach me how to make coffee because I'm lousy.
Okay, well,
but I'm British.
Great.
That's fine. I'm not expected to make good coffee.
Okay, that's great. That's great.
Listen, we need to wrap it up because it's the hour. And I know that you always like to do it for 1 hour. So listen, it's lovely, Ted. Well done on your new show.
Thank you.
Great that you're in Mount Shasta. And I tell you what, the quality is fantastic. You know, usually we get cut off or interrupted, but this has been a really good quality. So whoever's helping you, I don't know his name, but he's obviously a bit of a good guy.
Admiral Helisarius of the, he's a commander of the 2 million Pleiadian ships around the planet right now. He's helping.
Okay, but there's somebody a little bit more human helping you as well.
Doug and Don at my station in
BBS
Radio.
Right, so they're doing the great job. That's why it's working so well. There you go.
Yeah,
so let's not give this to the Pleiadians this time. Let's give it to someone
else. All right. Well, actually, yeah, they're great. They're great people, and they're helping me with this. So
they definitely are. Listen, God bless to everyone, and no doubt catch you soon. Yeah.
All right, Simon. Have a wonderful evening, my friend. Great to talk to you. Cheers.
And you too, my friend. Take care. Bye bye.
All right. Bye bye. Bye.
光る星。